today on Real Radio.
Some of you may be in this room or watching right now or listening right now, and you're saying, you know what? I'm fine with Jesus, but I don't like people. I'm fine with Jesus. I am not going to fellowship. How about this one? I'm fine with Jesus. I'm going to be in my house and do my own thing. That's all sin. You're in rebellion against God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Thank You, God, Part 2, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 1 through 7. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. He went to Philippi on his second missionary journey and had a great love for his new church fellowship there. In this unique letter to the Philippians, Paul calls himself not an apostle but a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Paul was in a terrible place, and yet in his prison cell, he was so thankful to be in the family of God. Beaten and bound in chains, he was still full of joy, for he was no longer a slave to sin, but free in Christ and in partnership with his sufferings. Today, Pastor Jack describes the meaning of deep, God-given peace. It's not an emotion. It's not a sensation. The peace of God is a peace that passes all understanding. It can only be experienced through a personal relationship with God and by trusting in Him alone as the object of our faith. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And then there's the Christian who says, God, help me. Lord, be with me. And how is it that I cannot explain that this God of ours takes the very hour of our difficulty, whatever it might be. Maybe it's months, maybe it's years in suffering. I remember my sister suffering for 7 years with cancer. And not only did she come to Christ because of her suffering, but she grew more in 7 years than I did in my entire Christian life. Why? Because there is an intercourse with God that is experienced through suffering that you can't get anywhere else. And Paul says, you know what? I don't care what happens because I am Christ's bondservant. He's my master. He vowed to take care of me. And frankly, I don't care what happens in my life as long as the gospel is preached and people come to faith in Jesus. He said, bring it on. Bring it on. Absolutely awesome. Remember, as I said last week, you can't stop a man like that. Can't stop him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing with his death, so that I'm in one way or another will experience the resurrection from the dead. God is in our sufferings. This last week, Thursday night, Lisa and I were called out to City of Hope. And many of you remember Dan Greeter, servant here, 8 years. And we got a call that Dan was at the City of Hope. And that was kind of caught us off guard because, you know, like 6 or 7 weeks ago, we saw him and his wife shopping at the grocery store. And all of a sudden, you know, he's at the end. So what in the world? We drive out there, all the family's there. And, you know, listen, when you do this enough, when you see people enough, nurses, doctors, you know exactly what I'm saying. When you walk in the room, and in half a second, you walk in the room and you just take a look. Okay, this person's not long. It's that clear. This person's not long. So I asked someone, has the doctors told you guys what's up? Because he's not going to be here long. There's only one person in the room who knows. So, well, okay, thanks. Glad to know that. So I just said, hey, everybody, can I have your attention? Listen up, please, you guys. I want you to take a look at Dan. Look at your dad. Look at your brother. Look at your husband. That's not him. That's not him. The inside of the real Dan, you guys, ain't sick. His spirit doesn't have cancer. His soul does not have cancer. His body is dying. That's what Paul said, the outward man's perishing, but the inward man's being renewed day by day. And I said, listen, you guys need to start singing to him. Worship now. Listen, inside of him, he's fine. Let him out. Start worshiping. Give him Bible verses. All of you, I don't care about your voice. Don't worry about it. Listen, start singing him praise and worship songs. Find out what his favorite worship song is. Start singing it. Get in there. Get it going. and send him off with joy and happiness, and let him know it's okay that you guys will catch up later. Yes. Just give him the permission. A lot of people will hang on. And some hours after that, he went to go see Jesus. The inside of you lives forever. You may be young, you may be old, you might have cancer, you might die of old age, you might be a heart attack or stroke. Doesn't matter. We live in a world full of sin, and we suffer because of sin. Thank God. The apostle said it's weighing anchor. That's what happens when we die. We just cut the anchor loose. We leave this carcass here to stink up the room. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. God's goodness. Comforted by God, the peace of God. The next thing is this: we have been entreated by God for all that he has given us. He has, listen, we have been entreated. We don't use that word much anymore, entreated by God. The word entreated is an old English word. It means strongly asked for or requested or firmly. We don't use this word either, solicited. Isn't it amazing? God entreats us. It's an old English word. He entreats us. So what does that mean again? To be prevailed upon by God. I like that statement. To be prevailed upon by God. You want to know a living, breathing picture of it? You want to know who was prevailed upon by God? Regarding this entreatment of the Lord, that God, we are so thankful to him for all that he's given us because we have been entreated by God. It means that he pursues us. Do you guys know who Jacob is in the Bible? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you remember what he was doing? Remember he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, which turned out to be a theophanies in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And what happened? What happened was he, in prevailing against the Lord in that wrestling match, which every boy should read. It's awesome. Talk about action figures. It's amazing. But then ultimately the Lord prevailed upon him and changed his name forever to Israel in that room. Boom! Knocked his hip out of joint because he said, listen, from now on, you're so stubborn. You're going to have this handicap. Put a placard on your donkey. Park anywhere you want. But here's the deal. Every time you limp, you're going to know, this is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. This is from every step along the way. God prevailed upon him. And that's that word. God prevails upon you in love, in grace, peace. Stop resisting him. Let him love you. He's crazy about you. Third and final point of today is this in verses 3-7. Is that thank you, God, for our future that is certain. Now, Pastor, have you seen the stock market this week? Listen, there's nothing certain in this world but insanity. Our future is certain with him. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Please mark that. Always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you all with joy. Okay, look, that's in two verses, he is either speaking radical truth or he's a liar. Do you hear the pregnancy of this verse? Listen to it. Let me exaggerate it in front of you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Really? Paul said, yeah, that's what imprisonment will do. Not to Rome, but Jesus. Oh, he's telling the truth, all right. Three things that we get out of this. Our glorification is assured. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What does this mean? It means that the church at Philippi, their witness was so amazing. It so impressed Paul's heart, he knew they were Christians. Their glorification, that is, when Christ returns or when they died, their glorification was assured. The fact that they lived the life, listen everybody, the life that they lived so honored God. Paul said, every time I think of you guys, I break out in thanks and prayer for you. You know what? I got to tell you something. I am so, you know, you look around this place right now. First service is growing and growing and growing. Second is floor seating. You know, third's growing and growing. So why is this happening? Well, number one, it's the end of the world. But that kind of encourages people. But you know what it is? It's because people pray. There are people who pray. I do not come to this pulpit without knowing that there's a ministry of prayer people praying before I come out here. People are always praying. This week I was in Colorado Springs at Focus on the Family, and a woman came up to me and she said, she technically said, "You don't look like you sound." I go, "What's that supposed to mean?" She goes, "Well, you sound a lot younger than what you look, but anyway." She said, "We are always praying for you in the church at Chino Hills regularly," she said. Listen, God hears that. God hears that. Okay? That was on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, I think it was, or Friday. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It was a whole few days ago. Lisa and I were at a family's house from this church for dinner. And that family's from Romania. And the host of the house, the woman said, "You know, my 83-year-old mother in Hetzig, Romania, wants you to know she prays for you and your family in the church every day with her friends." Yeah. You know what? Listen, you can't buy that, ladies and gentlemen. That's a God thing. People praying in Romania, and I got an email from Ireland, people praying, and you look around and you see old and young being transformed by the power of God. Prayer is an attitude, and Paul had it. Christian, I want to invite you to get in more trouble for Jesus. You'll pray more. Get in more trouble with Jesus. You'll pray more. If you and I were walking with Jesus, who in this room would not want to walk with Jesus if we lived 2,000 years ago? You'd run up and walk with him. You know what you'd learn real quick? "Oh, dear God, help us. Lord Jesus, are you talking to your father? Because this doesn't look good. The boat is sinking." Right? I'm thinking, I don't know, the first time I'm walking with Jesus and we're like, I mean, think of those poor guys. They're like, what are we? Wait, what? Okay. Graveyard? Really? What? Whoa, what is that guy? Look, he's got fangs. The guy's naked. He's going to claw us, right? And Jesus, just don't worry about it. Come out of him. In Jesus' name, he said my name. Come out. Jesus says, come out. Isn't it interesting? I just thought, Jesus never said, come out in Jesus' name. And Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. He was the Lord. And the disciples are watching this. Whoa, this Christian stuff's radical. You would pray more. And then secondly, verses 5 through 6, and something that tells me, we'll come back to verse 6 later on, is our sanctification is complete. Because God has declared you sanctified, set apart, God is at work in your life. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. They were saved. And he said, you know what? I love the fact that you guys are in fellowship with one another around the gospel. Your fellowship in the gospel. The word fellowship is that famous Greek word, koinonia. It means social intercourse. It means communion. Watch. It means communication, partnership. It means, listen, vital. It means to distribute. Isn't that interesting? Koinonia means to have fellowship one with another. And with the fellowship, what is absolutely built into it is distribution. See, what does that mean? That means if you and I hang out together, listen carefully, if you and I hang out together and we're Christians, but all we do is talk about the Rams playing the Goats or the Lakers playing the Clippers or the lawn being dead from drought, it doesn't matter what we're talking about, even though we're Christians, it's not fellowship. Well, we got some Christians, we get together and we talk about not fellowship. Listen, to fellowship, koinonia means we have social intercourse as believers regarding the things of God that are worthy of distribution. Isn't that cool? So listen, as Christians, every Christian who's got the Holy Spirit in them is always saying, I want to hang out with believers. Watch, ushers, remember, lock those doors. You're not going to like this if you're on the wrong side of the fence. Some of you may be in this room or watching right now or listening right now, and you're saying, you know what? I'm fine with Jesus, but I don't like people. I'm fine with Jesus. I am not going to fellowship. How about this one? I'm fine with Jesus. I'm going to be in my house and do my own thing. That's all sin. You're in rebellion against God. I'm not going to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. So you should join them. People drive me crazy. You drive people crazy. Listen, isolation. It'll destroy you. Paul says, thank God for the fellowship of the church at Philippi. They're engaged in one another's lives. They're distributing love, grace, mercy. Listen, well, I'm not going to be friends with anybody because I've had my heart stepped on too many times. Thank God he's not like you. I have stepped on Jesus's heart more than I can remember. And he's never said, you know, Jack, I've just had enough about you. No, never has. We're supposed to be like him. And listen, fellowship, you think you're boarding up your heart and boarding up your home and boarding up your life and you're going to create this little club of us? You're going to die. Because warts and all, God engineered the church to get along with each other. I don't like people. Listen, they don't like you either. But you know what? They're deciding to love you. Every time you hear that person, ah, that guy makes me sick. You know what? We will never grow. We will never grow as Christians unless we do the Jesus thing. And the Jesus thing is to be with people that drive you nuts. You love on them. How many of you are single? Raise your hands. You're single? That's it? All right, well, listen, for those of you who are single, I know you're going to say, it's not true, Pastor. You shouldn't have said that. I don't care. It is true. And it's easier to be single. You don't understand the temptation we go. Yes, I do. I used to be single. I was single once. I get it. But listen, to be married is to be in the ministry. No, I'm serious. What about the person that drives you nuts that lives in your, under your roof? Listen, be like Jesus. But you don't know. I don't need to know. Be like Jesus. Well, what am I supposed to do? Be like Jesus. Think about it. That's what we're supposed to do. Marriage is a ministry. It's a mission. If you're single, do your homework and get ready for it. But didn't God make him to make me happy? No, he did not. Well, isn't she supposed to be the woman of my dreams? Definitely not. Here's the deal. God created her and him to make you holy. And just like that, the same is true in a family and in a church. And listen, you're gonna, this is all of a sudden, this is gonna go out of the room in a moment and into the lab, into the real world. You know those little, not gophers, they're chipmunks. Remember that cartoon? After you. Oh, no, no, after you. Who are those? Remember those chipmunks? Chippendale? Whatever they. After you. Okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying. There's a dispute over here about the names of the gophers. No, after you. Oh, no, 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 after you. No, please, you first. You know how polite they are? Listen, when you're a Christian, you are to minister to one another. The Bible says, esteeming others more highly than yourself. So in a minute, you're going to get out of the parking lot. You're going to see who's Christians or not. After you. No, no, watch. After you. No, no, after you. No. And you'll know who the non-Christian is because you'll hear a horn 3 cars back. Come on! Jump out of your cars, go and lay hands on that guy and bless him in the name of the Lord. And truly we end with this. Look at verse 7. We'll come back in the next few weeks or next week to verse 6, I promise. But our identification is in Christ, you guys. Our identification is in Jesus Christ. He says, just as it is right for me to think this of you. Well, what a statement. Hey, you Philippians, you guys are precious to me, warts and all. It wasn't a perfect church, you know, you guys? But you can't find any fault in it from Paul because he saw that church, he loved them. Because I have you in my heart and as much in my chains. This is so sweet, don't leave the building without getting this. In the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. This is what he's saying. Say, hey, Philippians, see these chains? These chains are witnesses. Every time I hear them clatter and feel the weight of them, I get a smile on my face because you guys are the reason why I'm in jail. I went to your town and shared the gospel, didn't know what was going to happen. You Philippians accepted the gospel, you accepted Christ, and not only did you accept Christ, you guys grew like hot potatoes, man. You just exploded like, you guys are amazing. You guys are growing, and I got arrested because of your spiritual growth. And he said, you hear these chains? I wouldn't change a thing. I am happily chained to these Roman guards and to this empire because you're going to heaven. Isn't this amazing, precious man? And so he's saying this. He is saying, I'm choosing to look at your growth and your sanctification and your development in Jesus Christ. That's my choice. And I want to encourage you today. What are you choosing to do? Well, she hurt my feelings, and that greeter didn't smile at me when I came in. Listen, you're going to be bitter all the days of your life. If you go into life, into church, into work, into home, and it's like this, you know what? You know what's wrong? That thing's crooked. You know what? I can't believe that. Everything is just drip, drip, drip. You know what? Jesus said the same judgment you mete out upon people is the same judgment you're going to get in the end. You forget of what God has forgiven you of. Paul wouldn't do that. Paul would say maybe to us, I'm not going to let myself get down in that toilet. That's the way the world goes. Are you kidding me? In fact, if you're going to ask me, CNN, about all the faults at Philippi, I can't think of any right now. I rejoice in focusing on their amazing relationship with God. I see how God used me a little bit in that relationship. But if you want me to get down in the gutter of this world and start criticizing and eating them up, then these chains that might weigh 50 pounds might as well weigh 500,000 pounds. If this cell that I'm in is 10 by 10, it might as well be my coffin. And I'm just not going to do that. People who are bitter, people who are angry and unforgiving, they're isolated. You think you're better off than Paul because you're not in prison? Paul was in prison and he was free. You can be out on the open sea in your sailboat and be absolutely imprisoned with your emotions and your soul because you're holding out on God's grace. You're not free. And Paul said, you know, it's a determination I'm making with my attitude to focus on what God has done. And that's where we end today. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask you to do something. Will you stand and raise your right hand? You guys okay up front? We should distribute ibuprofen to the floor sitters. Raise your right hand. If you're a Christian, raise your right hand. Don't do this if you're not a Christian. You repeat after me. Yeah? Dear Lord, I confess today. I am now responsible for hearing this message. Grant me your grace. And your peace. Cause me to be obedient, to love, and to forgive, and to be free in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much and smiling upon me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Thank You, God. And thank you for listening. Our desire is that you know Christ and experience the joy and peace that only He can bring. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, we really enjoy hearing from our Real Radio listeners and finding out how Real Radio is making a difference in the lives of people around the world. Kathy says, Pastor Hibbs, I just wanted to thank you for speaking the truth. I watch you on YouTube and wish I lived in Chino Hills, California. I'm from Ohio, a small town, been searching for over a year for a church that preaches the truth and not just milk. Members of your church and others like it are so blessed to have a pastor like you and not just a hireling. Have a God-filled day, says Kathy. Blessings. If you'd like to get a hold of us and say hello to Pastor Jack and share your thoughts, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.